Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay. So here's my moment in that game on Sunday where I was like, wow, this is, in retrospect, I think it's what turned the game around. Second half starts and CD3 gets the interception. And you're like, all right, here we go. 23-7. They're going to capitalize here, turn this game around quickly, put pressure on the opponent. And what happens? Interception. Ball gets marked at the one. I think the biggest sequence of the game was getting the three and out from the one, because they had to punt it back to the Lions, and the Lions went down the field and scored. And while it wasn't directly after CD3's interception, it was almost like a continuation of that same drive. Like the defense able to get off the field. I think the three and out when Houston had the ball, remember at first they said touchback and then they went back and put him on the one. That was a huge sequence. And I thought that is where that, to me, that was like the biggest sequence of the game, was getting the football back after the interception and then obviously capitalizing.
Yeah. I was looking at the beginning of the fourth quarter. Houston ran a couple plays but got stalled at their own 10-yard line, and then they have to punt it away.
Mm-hmm.
The Lions' next drive went for a touchdown, but the play that really made things was on third and one. They got 1 yard to get the first down with a one-yard run from David Montgomery. As soon as that happens, I feel like there's a sigh of relief that comes over the offense. Okay, guys, we can breathe. Now we got first and 10 from our own 46-yard line. We're down 23-13 at this point. We're going to come down here. We're going to score. Whether it's a field goal or a touchdown, we're going to score. We've got a chance now. And because of that, Montgomery got just enough to give him the first down. Everything changed. And then four plays later, you got a touchdown pass to St. Brown after a couple of big plays. You know, the nice pass to Jameson Williams, and Montgomery had a nice big run there. But it was getting that first down, that third down conversion on third and one. Because if they don't get it, you know, it brings up a fourth and short. And I feel pretty confident Dan Campbell was going to go for it down by 10.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't have to worry about that. You don't have to go into all that stuff where there's extra added pressure. And then obviously they were able to maintain. And when they do that and they score, it's 23-20 and there's 8 minutes to go. I don't think any Lions fan watching this is going, we don't have a chance. I think everybody's going, we got this.
Kang, what about you? What was the moment?
Yeah, I actually agree with you, Doug. I mean, it's the sequence of the, the Carlton Davis thing, the pick right out of the halftime, you would think, all right, this is it. But they didn't do anything with it. In fact, they turned the ball over. It's the fact that they spotted the ball at the 1 yard line and they were able to get a three and out with the Texans. It was like a continuation, because then, like, all right, it's a continuation of Carlton Davis's pick, essentially. We go down and then the Lions score a touchdown, which was huge because out of halftime, Dan Campbell said it, the defense is playing great. The offense needs to wake up, and they needed that just to score. And then that kind of woke them up a little bit, like, hey, we can score. You look up. You know, they went for two, didn't get it, but you were only down 10. This is very doable. It was very early in the second half. You know, because going into halftime, it seems like 16 halftime. That's a big number, especially the way that, you know, the game's going. But then a couple minutes later, you're down 10 the rest of the half. You felt a lot better. So I think that's what really started for me, Doug, too.
248-539-9797. Carson Anderson, 97, won the ticket. The other thing is, there's a couple things in that game that were almost like from a screenplay. Like you couldn't script it. When they played the tape of Dan Campbell at halftime talking about needing to create turnovers, and Carlton Davis picks off a pass with that as the soundtrack, Campbell saying we need to get turnovers, it's just a coincidence. Like, I get, and it's no surprise, I'm sure a lot of coaches would have been preaching we need to get turnovers. But they got one as the soundbite's playing. It's almost like Dan Campbell didn't need the legend of Dan Campbell boosted anymore in this town, but that happens. Are you kidding me? Like, you couldn't script it. And that happened, A, and B, at the end of the game, if you had said, all right, how are we going to do this? What are we going to make this the most dramatic football movie ever that's about a kicker? We'll have
he's,
him.
He's a rookie.
We'll have him in his hometown where he had some average everyday job, and we all know what it is now. And then 1 year later, he's back and he scrapes the right upright to tie it. And then he scrapes the left eye upright to win it. Like, this stuff is, it's movie stuff. Are you kidding me?
It's great. It's so great. I love this movie. I want to watch it over and over again. I hope it ends with a really happy ending here. It's every little thing about this team makes you smile even a little more, you know, and going through the adversity they went through on Sunday night and come away on top. Great. You know, it's, look, watching the players develop as they have, you know, seeing Pascal back out there, Dan Campbell's right. You know, he's talking about Pascal and saying, and we got Pascal back and he played well. He did play well.
Yep.
It was good to see him playing well. You're seeing Jack Campbell out there and he's becoming more of a force this year than what he was last year. He had a pretty good rookie season, but he stepped it up a little bit this year. But then you're seeing other guys. I'm sure you did it too. Who the hell? What?
Dude. Okay.
Neiman's out there making plays that you're like, why is Neiman even seeing the field? I'm never going to question it because whatever works, works. And then there was a play where Jamarco Jones, we had a Jamarco Jones sighting. I'm like, I thought that he was he off the team? I didn't think they brought him back to the practice squad. Was he a practice squad guy? I don't remember that.
Well, you saw how they used him too.
Yes. He played the Dan Skipper role.
He went in motion. Did you see this, Kang? He goes in motion, lines up as a wing on the end of the left end of the line, chips a guy, and goes out for a pass.
Brilliant.
I don't think the play worked, but it was.
But it's just the fact that they don't stop. This is what they do. They make you think every time. They're putting it all out there on film. You don't know what to expect with the Lions offense, and their roster is chock full of guys that they get a chance to play on Sunday. There's always somebody that you're like, I don't know who the hell this guy is. Mm-hmm. And what does he do? Oh, he's making a play is what he's doing. Okay, good. Good for him. Nice.
I swear to God, I thought they're going to run the hook and ladder to get that first down the end of the game to put him in field goal range. Like, I'm like, this. He's going to pull something out. Ben Johnson's he's a sick bastard. And if you remember the Green Bay game, they did it with St. Brown and DeAndre Swift.
Yep.
You know, and I thought, all right, here it comes. Here it comes. Like, you have to be prepared for anything at any moment when you play the Lions. And you talk about being scripted, Doug, how that game was scripted and everything. It was just like, it was like someone wrote this in a movie.
Yep.
I thought that was the perfect game for the Lions. Of course, it works out perfect game because they end up winning the game, but they needed a wake-up call. Like, when they were getting spanked in the first half, and I didn't know what the outcome was going to be. It didn't look good at that moment, but I thought to myself, the positive out of this was they were cruising too much, right? Everyone was giving them their flowers every single week, top of the power rankings, everyone just saying how great Ben Johnson is, how great this team is. Sometimes you need this in the middle of the year to just be like, hey, remember, this can turn at any moment. You got to stay on top of it. They took their lumps, came back and won the game. And I think now that we know, hey, they, you know, things are always, you always can work on something in this league, right? There's no given wins any given Sunday, like they always say. So I think it was perfect for this team where they're at.
There was one thing that I questioned at the end of the game. I don't know if you guys had the same thing. It's 3rd and 7 with about 40 seconds to go.
Mm-hmm.
And the clock is ticking. It's 3rd down. You've got 2 timeouts left. I was surprised they didn't run another play to see if they can get closer. But they thought 52 yards is good. We don't need to get any more yardage. I just thought that was strange. I don't know how many teams in a league would say 52 is good enough.
So here's the thing. I thought about it in the moment too. And the conclusion I came to is 52 they are very comfortable with. And you always run the risk of a TFL
sure.
or a holding.
Yep.
And if you back it up 10 yards, now you've created, you go, okay, now we're on the brink of makeable field goal range. We should have just let it run down. So the message that I got, and you know, Dan Campbell talked about how they ran this end of game scenario with Jake Bates in Thursday's practice is they know he's going to make it from 52 way more often than not. And so why risk running another play that could be a negative play?
Which gets back to the point of how many other teams would do this? How many other teams feel that confident in their kicker? Because it feels like, Ken, you and I bring this up all the time, 50-yard field goals are going in all over the place.
No,
everybody's kicking.
Gator, I think
except for Jake Moody.
Yeah, exactly. I think we all thought the same thing. Why not run another play, get a few more yards? But 52 is the new 42, man. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like it's hey, 52, no problem. That's the entire
indoors,
league for the most part.
Well,
yeah.
Although they had the roof open, but the elements aren't going to play a role in it. I mean, I understood it to a point. It's not what I would have done, and doesn't matter. What matters is what Dan Campbell's going to do. I thought it was a little strange it didn't run an extra play, but they have that much confidence in the kicker. And to your point, Doug, look, they don't want to take a negative play. They certainly don't want to take a penalty. Even if they did, though, they'd still have a chance to make that up because it's still third now.
If I heard this correctly, last night during the Monday night game, Josh Cardy, the kicker for the Rams, was standing over a 55-yarder, which was going to be a career-long. And I think Joe Buck said that now from beyond 50, as he was there, did you hear this by chance? He said,
I watched it,
He said, kickers are now at 71% from beyond 50 yards.
Amazing.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
And so I think you're right. 52 is the new 42. And obviously they were right too. Even if it just shaved the goalpost, it was
I swear
them.
That hit the flag, the last kick. Dude. But Houston's kicker had made like 11 50-plus yarders. So it's not like this is normal, no, man.
And then he,
he missed the one.
He missed the 58-yarder.
You're going to miss some point.
Was it Tirico or Collinsworth that had the line? Like, if there was an extra coat of paint on that,
that was Collinsworth.
That's not going in.
My son said to me, if the laces had been turned directly towards it, it might have hit the goalpost. But unbelievable. All right, 248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1, the ticket.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.